أعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، فإن كل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أبريد الله سبحانه وتعالى، and he is the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance, and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. I seek refuge on Almighty Allah from the evil of our passions. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Al-Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the chief of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The worst of all affairs is a negation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslims. Today, which is Tuesday, the 7th of Dhul-Qa'dah, for the year 1419 after the migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is equivalent to the 23rd of February for the year 1999. And today, inshallah, we are going to continue our class concerning Al-Hajj from the book Bulugh al-Maram lil-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, from the book The Attainment of the Objective. This is the fourth class from the book of Bulugh al-Maram concerning the chapter of Hajj. And in actuality, this is supposed to be the 40th class from the book Bulugh al-Maram. And by finishing this class today, inshallah, this will be exactly half of the book of Bulugh al-Maram. This is 40 classes that we went through explaining this book, and when we finished this class today, actually we had accomplished and finished by Allah's will half of this class. And we're going to continue from this book inshallah after we come back from Hajj, if Allah Almighty well so. And today, inshallah, I'm going to be talking to you concerning the last two chapters of Hajj, and we're going to pick up from hadith number 630, and this will be the book of Hajj, page number 267, for those who had the book within the book Bulugh al-Maram. وعنه أي عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال اللهم ارحم المحلقين قالوا والمقصرين يا رسول الله؟ قالت الثالثة والمقصرين. وعليكم السلام. This hadith was reported by Ibn Umar. May Allah be pleased with him as well as his father. And the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well Imam Muslim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send his mercy upon both of them. The hadith is authentic. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made supplication that may Allah send mercy on those who shave their head after their Umrah and their Hajj. The companion said, O Prophet of Allah, and for those who have a haircut, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah have mercy upon those who shave their head. He said, O Prophet of Allah, and also those who have a haircut. For three times the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua with mercy to be ascended on those who shave their head. And this applied to men, not to women. This applied to men, not to women. And the proper way that after the man finished his umrah, as well as make his hajj, that he will shave his head, that means remove all the hair on his head with the razor blade. What the companion, may Allah be pleased with them, they ask concerning those people who have a haircut, that means they will shorten their hair, not shave it totally, to be included in Allah's mercy and the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated three times, and in the third time he said, "An al-muqassirin," that means may the mercy of Allah also be upon those who have haircut. Number one, a woman is supposed to shorten her hair, not to shave. Number two, that shortening her hair can be enough with 1 inch as example. 1 inch or the tip of your finger, okay, will be sufficient. And that she can shorten her hair after Umrah as well as Hajj to get out of the state of Ihram. And out of the state of Ihram, not after Umrah, not after Hajj, if she wants to cut her hair short, it is permissible as long as she is not imitating men, neither she imitates the Kuffar women. So this will be permissible for her to cut her hair. Now, for the men, the most reward will be for those who shave, not those who cut their hair short. Secondly, about cutting the hair short, not to be qaza'a. And the qaza'a Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had forbidden. And the qaza'a is the person, he will cut some part of his hair and leave the rest. Like we see some of these styles of the kuffar today, that they will shave round their head and leave the middle, or that they will take one part and leave the other part, whatever kind of design they do in their hair, because Islam is about fairness, and fairness even to be done with your own self. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid the man to walk with one shoe. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid for you that you shave part of your hair and leave the other, because it's not equality, it's not fair with your body. The same way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid the man to take a side of a wife and neglect the other wife if he have two wives. So Islam is a religion of balance in everything, even when you cut your hair. You have to be just in with your part. So you wear both sandals or take both of them off. That you shave all your hair or leave all your hair. You see? So the best thing that the person do after Umrah and after Hajj, he will shave. If he cut his hair short, That means he will take from all places. This will be permissible and will be enough. Cutting the hair or shaving the hair for man and a woman, this is the form and the way to take you from the state of ihram. That means the other things will be lawful to you. Okay? Intercourse, wearing the regular clothes, all the things. Okay? For women, they have to keep in mind that not their hair to be exposed to other men that are not mahram. Is not your son, is not your brother, is not your husband. So you don't give the scissors as example to somebody and ask him to clip your hair for you. It will be a sister like you, okay? Or that you can even clip it for yourself. You can clip it for yourself, okay? Hadith number 630. Thank you. Hadith number 631. وعن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقف في حجة الوداع فجعلوا يسألونه فقال رجل لم أشعر فحلقت قبل أن أذبح قال اذبح ولا حرج وجاء آخر فقال لم أشعر فنحرت قبل أن أرمي قال ارمي ولا حرج فما سئل يومئذ عن شيء قدم ولا أخر إلا قال افعل ولا حرج. This hadith reported by Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, may Allah be pleased with him, as well as his father. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, as well as Imam Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after he performed his hajj, hajjat al-wada', he stood up there, that means he made himself available. And the hajjis, the sahaba, those who perform hajj, we came asking him different questions concerning what he did. One of them said, I didn't pay attention and I shaved my hair before I slaughtered my animal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, slaughter your animal and no harm, that what you did is acceptable. Another person came, O Prophet of Allah, I didn't pay attention. I slaughtered my animal before I throw the stones. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no problem, is acceptable. That nothing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam questioned about it concerning what is supposed to be done in that day, except he said, no problem, is okay, is acceptable, okay? In actuality, there is a special order, what is supposed to be doing. Does anybody know what day is this when you do the things and you will get a quarter or a 50 cent maybe? Okay. You're supposed to raise your hand first so I can see which one will get the quarter. So all of you blow the quarter now, okay? So all those people who answer without raising their hand, they owe me a quarter now. So this was the day of what? The 10th. Which you, we here in America, every other place that we are not making hajj. What we call this day? Exactly. This is the day of Eid, the day of feast. Now the Muslims who are making hajj, this will be the 10th day for them. They just coming from where? Anybody know? What was the station before Arafah? What was before Muzdalifah? Huh? They are in Mina. They are in Mina. They left Muzdalifah in the morning and they went to where? Alright, you need to go to study. When you go home, think about this one. Huh? Got it? Huh? And the Mas'ar al-Haram. Yeah. So now you are in Mina. Anybody have idea about approximately what time? Approximately? About? Huh? Late morning, okay, let's say like 10 o'clock as example. So the order that is supposed to go and the stone, okay, the Jamrah. Number one, you go and throw 7 pebbles in the fish zamra, okay? And after this you will go and slaughter your animal, okay? And after this you will go and shave your hair. And after this you will go later on in that day or the next 2-3 days to Mecca to make tawaf. Okay? This is the order. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when those people asked him about what he did, that means somebody did this before this and this before that, he said to them, what? That is no problem, is acceptable. Now we don't put ourselves now as in a scholarly position and anything else. We go to tell the people, okay, it's no problem. Somebody went to Mina before Arafah and went to, somebody went to Arafah in the 8th day and he didn't go there. Only the day of Mina in the morning, the order of this thing, this is the only thing we're talking about. If you make a mistake that you shave ferrets or you kill the animal ferrets or that you throw the, whatever that you made out of it, 3 things or 4 things is still acceptable, okay? We only talking about the day of Mina, the 10th. Okay? Pay attention now. Okay, the proper order is to go and stone the jamra, okay? And after this, you will go and slaughter your animal. And after this, you will shave your hair. Okay? Now, you can change your clothes. And we'll go, inshallah, next week in this more in details. If not, you want to go to Mecca, you can go to Mecca to make tawaf. And come back to stay 3 days, 3 nights in Mina. If it's not acceptable for you to go to Mecca is that day, you can remain, change your clothes and stay, relax. Be in the tent, see the Muslims, make zikrullah, okay, and enjoy, you understand, eating the meat of your animals and things like this. Alright? And later on, when these days of Mina finish, now you go to Mecca and you make tawaf, you make sa'i. Okay? But 4 things need to be done, or 3 things need to be done to, in that day. The first day is what? Throwing pebbles, killing the animals, and shaving the hair. So if you shave your hair first, it's still acceptable. Okay? If you throw your animal first, it's still acceptable. But you should try to know the order and try to remember. And sometimes you may forget, or you may understand things is not accessible to you. You may have not found your animal, you understand, to kill it in the first day. You may, it's so crowded you cannot reach the place. All these things is possible, okay? So it's no problem. You can throw the pebbles at least, okay? And shave your hair. And after this, you change your clothes and relax, okay? And the hadith is authentic. We go to hadith, inshallah, number 632. And this hadith in page number 268. وعن المسور ابن مخزمة رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نحر قبل أن يحلق وأمر أصحابه بذلك. Okay, this hadith is showing us the portion of the proper order that's supposed to do, to be done in the 10th days in Mina. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had killed his sacrifice before shaving his head, and he had commanded his companions to do so. Next hadith. Number 633, with good status, the hadith is weak. Go to hadith number 634. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ليس على النساء حلق وإنما على النساء تبصير. رواه أبو داود بإسناد حسن. And the hadith is authentic. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم telling us that shaving head is not incumbent on women, but what is for women is what? Is to shorten. is to shorten. The woman is not supposed to shave her hair. Alright? And this imitation for the men. And if a woman imitates a man in any fashion, or a man imitates a woman in any fashion, you will be cursed by Allah. You will be cursed by Allah. Walking, talking, form of dress, hairstyle, anything. Okay? So you can see how many women in Fort Jackson been cursed. Huh? And Fort Bragg, and Fort Warden, and all these forts. Okay? You're wearing suits, you're marching, you're doing all, everything like a man. And yes, sure, and salute, and all kind of stuff, okay? Yeah. Not only people on project, you can see also in the streets, okay? So anything a man does, imitating a woman, doesn't matter now, like some men, you should their being. You say, but I don't need to. It's not my intention to imitate the woman. It still doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not certain things, your intention is not required there. You do it, you are doing it. Okay? You are part of it. And shaving the beard is a big problem with a lot of Muslims, okay? And instead of imitating the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this imitation of the kuffar and imitation of women. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the woman with no beard, He creates the man with beard. And for your knowledge, even the kuffar and the leaders, because some people, they try to present themselves nowadays in a business fashion. But the great people, until recently, they used to grow their beard. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, look at the dollar bill. I don't mean it has to be a dollar, but dollar, 50, 20, 1,000, million, any bill. If not all these kuffar presidents, they used to grow their beard. Okay? Until came all this, you know what? Okay. Yeah. Alright? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but what's for the women is what? Is to shorten or to clip their hair. And I said to clip it in a fashion not to be so short that will be imitation to the men. Hadith number 635. وعن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن العباس ابن عبد المطلب استأذن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يبيت بمكة ليالي منى من أجل شقايته فأذن له متفق عليه. This hadith reported by Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, and the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, rahmatullah alayhima, the hadith is authentic, that Al-Abbas ibn Abd al-Muttalib, Abbas, son of Abd al-Muttalib, what's the relationship between him and the Prophet? The uncle, okay? That he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a permission to be permitted to spend the night in Mecca. In the nights of women, of Mina, because he was in the charge of making water of Zamzam available for the Hajj. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him permission. Okay? The Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, he took part of the family that had taken a charge of making shikaya, making things available for the comfortable of the Hijaz. So he used to go and get the water from the well of Zamzam, okay? This is a big job. And got it in big containers or things to be available for the Hijaz when they come to arrive to Mecca to find the water available for them to drink. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had gave him permission not to spend the night in Mina. So that means he was performing Hajj. But due to the responsibility that needed by the other Hujjaj, and this is similar to what? People who work in the ambulance, emergency, okay, finish air, sit down or get out. Had permitted or get permission to the camel shepherd, or the camel, huh?
Camel
what?
Herder.
The camel taker. She's English. Brother, because I didn't invest the top for it, okay? No worry about it, okay? But I'm sure you know what I mean, is it? Okay. The camel pusher, okay? Draggers of the camels, okay? To spend the night out of Mina. To throw the pebbles in the first day, and they will go out, spend two nights, will come in the second or the third, and they will combine stoning of 2 days together. In 1 day, okay? Because this will be some kind of a starvation to the camel. They could not stay this time without, and for them to fulfill their obligation towards this animal, they have to take them out of the city limit of Mina, and it's not going to be accessible to them to come back to be by night in Mina. So they will stone for the first day, and after this they will leave for 2 days, and they will come back again and combine the stoning of 2 days in 1 day. So there is a special case which people can permit it for combining 2 days of stoning or spending the night out of Mina, other things like this, and alhamdulillah, this out of Allah's mercy. Hadith number 637, وعن أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال خطبنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم النحر الحديث متفق عليه. Does the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم give them a khutbah in the day of Nahr, and this to show us the sunnah that the imam of the government or the state, that he should give a khutbah in the day of Nahr, remind the Muslims about their obligation and the greatness of Islam, and that they should hold fast together to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the things that remind them about Allah and the deen of Allah. Hadith Sarra bin Nabhan radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat khatabana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yawm al-ru'ut فقال أليس هذا أوسط أيام التشريق. الحديث is حسن. The hadith is good. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them in the 11th days of Dhul Qa'dah, isn't this is the best day of your days or tashriq? The days of tashriq, okay, we call it tashriq from shuruq, because in that days they used people, the haji, after they sacrificed their animals, they used to put the meat on the stones, the big rocks, for the sun to hit it, and this is the means to dry, okay, and to preserve it for the future that they can utilize it, okay. So when they put this meat in the stones like this, and the sun hit it, it's called Ayam al-Tashriq, okay? So this Ayam al-Tashriq, which is the 3 days of the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th, the 3 days which comes after Eid, is called Ayam al-Tashriq, okay? So the 11th will be the middest or the best of all these days, and they call it Yawm al-Ru'us, because the day of Hajj, because that they kill a lot of animals, sacrifice a lot of animals in that day, they call it Yawm al-Ru'ud, the day of Hajj. A lot of Hajj is sharp, okay? Yeah. So this is the day which is the best day of the day of Tashriq, the best day of the 3 days after Eid, is what? The day of the 11th of Dhul Hijjah. page number 270 وعن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لها طوافك بالبيت وسعيك بين الصفا والمروة يكفيك لحجك وعمرتك. رواه مسلم. حديث reported by Aisha may Allah be pleased with her. The hadith is the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Aisha that her tawaf by the house means the Kaaba, and your sa'y, your walking between the two mountains, Safa and Marwa, is sufficient for your Hajj and your Umrah. It's sufficient for your Hajj and Umrah. Okay. We say that there is three types of nusuk. One called ifrad, that means single, mufrad. Okay, ifrad. One called qiran. Okay, qiran that putting two things together. And one called tamattu'. Okay, from mut'ah, enjoyment. Okay. The ifrad, that means a single hajj. Okay? Qiran, that means two things together. Okay? Make hajj and umrah together. Tamattu, that you make hajj and umrah, but you separate between both of them by enjoying yourself having a regular life. As example, having your clothes on, regular clothes, you can shave your hair, you can cut your nails, all these things, okay? This is the three things. If you make an ifrad hajj, you have to make one sa'i and tawaf and dish it. To try being in Arafah and doing all these other places, okay? If you make an Quran, hajj and umrah together, this what the hadith is applying to, that your tawaf and your walking sa'y between Safa and Marwa will be sufficient for Hajj and Umrah together. Okay? But if you make an tamattu Hajj and Umrah with separation between the Hajj and Umrah, turning to regular life, now you need to make tawaf and sa'y for Umrah. You need to make tawaf and sa'y for Hajj. Does anybody understand this?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, because Aisha is making Quran, making tawaf and Umrah without enjoying regular life between both of them, so for her it's sufficient what? To make one tawaf and one sa'y for both of them. Okay? And inshallah, I will do this in more details later on in the next two classes coming. Hadith number 640, وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يرمل في الشبع الذي أفاض فيه. رواه الخمسة إلا الترمذي وصححه الحاكم. The hadith is authentic. Reported by ابن عباس, may Allah be pleased with him, that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يرمل. What is يرمل? Anybody remember? A quarter for this answer. We make it 50 cents. We give you a dollar or a candy bar, and I have it in my briefcase ready. Okay, since nobody know, I tell you, the Ramli is...
Yeah, for the first... Okay, for the first...
The Ramli is to do what? Running, but what? Not speeding too much and hurting the other people, okay? Slow jogging. Okay? The slow jogging. So what this hadith is saying, that when after you leave Arafah and Muzdalifah and Mina, you're supposed to be doing what? You're making tawaf, ifada. So this kind of tawaf, you don't do what? You don't run in it. Okay? You don't jog in it. but you will walk normal. Okay? So this is what he's talking about. Lam yarmul, that means he did not, oh, you have it written in English and nobody can answer. Come on, guys. You have the book and it's written in English. Alright. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not run, okay, in when he made tawaf al-ifada. Because there is tawaf al-qudum, there is tawaf al-ifada, there is tawaf al-wada'. And we're going to explain, it's the different titles. But all the tawaf, 7 times. All the tawaf will be around the Kaaba. All the tawaf, you will start from the black stone into the black stone. All the tawaf, the Kaaba will be in your left and you're going in the right. You see? But the first tawaf when you come, the first tawaf, this is tawaf al-qudum. Because the arrival tawaf, let's say the arrival tawaf. Tawaf al-ifada, okay? Tawaf al-ifada is the tawaf that you do after finishing with Arafah, Muzdalifah, Mina. Now you go. That's called tawaf al-ifada. And tawaf al-wada' is the bye-bye tawaf. So it's very easy to remember. The first one is the arrival, and the last one is what? The bye-bye, the farewell. Okay? So the other one is what? Ifada. Ifada, like pouring water or coming, turning something down. Because you finish with this, now you're coming from Arafah, Muzdalifah, Mina, you finish, now you're coming to the final station. Okay? So in this kind of tawaf, you don't do what? Running. Which one you do running? The arrival. How many?
Three.
And the rest you will do what? You walk. Alhamdulillah. Okay? Hadith number 641. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عن أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الظهر والعصر والمغرب والعشاء ثم رقد رقدة بالمحصب ثم ركب إلى البيت فطاف به. Okay. This hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after he finished from everything, spending the night in Mina also, he got out of Mina and he reached to a place or a station called Al-Muhassab, and he took like a nap there. Leave here, please. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. And the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he took a nap, he rested in this area. But this is closer to Mina and a little bit distant from Mecca, but this has nothing to do with the manasik of Hajj. Okay? This has nothing to do of obligation, but this out of being tired or try to get yourself together to be having more energy before you go to Mecca to make the tawaf. So this is not part, but the narrator and the Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, he used to be concerned to tell us everything about what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Okay? For us to have a full awareness about the lifestyle of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith number 642 عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أنها لم تكن تفعل ذلك أي نزول بالأقطع. How we know that this is not part of Hajj? Now you see the second hadith, will explain the other hadith. That Aisha radiallahu anha لم تكن تفعل ذلك. She don't used to do this, but to go and stay by Al-Aqsa. وتقول إنما نزله رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه كان منزلا أسمح لخروجه. more convenience. He says the Prophet ﷺ only he took a nap there or relaxed there because it was more matter of convenience for his traveling. Okay? Alright. Page number 271 and hadith number 643. وعن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال أمر الناس أن يكون آخر عهدهم بالبيت إلا أنه خفف عن الحائض متفق عليه. Hadith reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari as well as Imam Muslim, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with both of them, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded that Ibn Abbas saying the Prophet sallam commanded the people that Ibn Abbas saying the people being commanded that not to leave Mecca unless that last thing to be performed is the tawaf. Okay? The people being commanded that the last thing to do what? Is the tawaf. And this tawaf what? Farewell, the wada', wada', okay? And it then excused out of this women who are bleeding, childbirth, menses, okay? They are exempt from this. Because this will delete the whole caravan or the whole trip. And if she has to wait, she may miss her company and her mahram or the group that she's traveling with. She's been exempt from this. And also from this hadith, we understand that tawaf, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the tawaf is the twin of salah. The only thing that you permit to talk in it. The tawaf is the twin of salah. The only thing, the difference that what? Is permissible to you to talk. So if you make a tawaf on your brother, say, Assalamu alaikum, for you, you can say, Wa alaikum salam, he means you can say, Rahmukallah. Or you, if you ask him, did you bring my wallet with you? You understand, did you bring extra money? Because I want to go step outside, get something to drink, I'm thirsty. You can talk to your brother while you're making tawaf. Okay? And also from this hadith, we understand the necessity of a person being, have wudu or in a state of tahara while they're making tawaf. Okay? Why? Because a woman during her message, she could not make tawaf because she is not in a state of purity. And the hadith is authentic. The last hadith in that chapter, chapter number 5, hadith number 644 in page number 271, عن ابن الزبير رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة في مسجدي هذا أفضل من ألف صلاة فيما سواه إلا المسجد الحرام وصلاة في المسجد الحرام أفضل من صلاة في مسجدي هذا بمئة صلاة رواه أحمد وصححه ابن حبان. The hadith is authentic and the hadith is reported by Ibn Zubayr, may Allah be pleased with him. That Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم telling us about the reward and the blessings and the virtues of performing prayer in his mosque. That performing prayer, any prayer in the mosque of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more rewarded 1,000 times than any other mosque. With exception, the holy mosque of Mecca. Okay? And he said that prayer in the mosque of Al-Haram in Mecca is more rewarded than salah in my mosque, 100 salah. Okay? So that means 100 times 1,000 would be 100,000. That means salah in the mosque of Mecca, where the Kaaba is much better than any other mosque, how many? 100,000 times. And Salah in the mosque of the does not have to be during the season of Hajj. Is this understood? And by this, inshallah, this is the end of this chapter. And we have one small chapter more to go to finish the Hajj chapter and the 40th class from the book Bulugh al-Maram. This chapter number 6, in page number 271, Missing Hajj, Al-Fawad wal-Ihshar. Al-Fawad means to miss something, and Al-Ihshar to be stopped or denied, especially by arming force, okay, to be stopped. Like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he been stopped to enter Mecca after he left Medina, okay, and he came and the kuffar stopped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was already in ihram and all these things, and they make a treaty there that he will return and come back in the next year. So if something happened like this, what is supposed, this what is the chapter talking about? If something happened to you, and as a result of this, that you need to stop the whole process of your Hajj. Hadith number 645, and Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma qal, قَدْ أُحْشِرَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ فحلق رأسه وجامع نساءه ونحر هديه حتى اعتمر عاما قابلا رواه البخاري. This hadith, which is in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, that reported by Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam been stopped by force from the kuffar to enter the Kaaba and to make his Umrah for his Hajj. And as a result of this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he shaved his head, he had intercourse with his wives, and he slaughtered his animal which he brought with him, and he made Umrah from the next year. And this was in the year 6 after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in the next year and he performed Umrah. And he been stopped by the station or the place called Al-Hudaybiyah, and it had a negotiation between the Kuffar and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that for him to go back again to Medina, and he will come for the next year with no problem that he can enter Mecca. So what happened when Ethercum been stopped by force in a case like what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He will take his ihram off and he will go to the state, the regular state of life, and he will go back and no harm for him. If the person can come later on, next year or the year after, alhamdulillah, if could not, no problem. Except if it was the obligatory hajj that you never fulfilled it before. You understand? So let's say, as example, a person going now, and this is the first time he make hajj in his life. And now, after he arrives there, they said the Gulf War starts again, and all the stuff you could not, and this is. And the person already in a state of ihram. How long this will take, God knows best, he needs to go back to America. So the person, he will take his ihram off, what his regular clothes, and he will go about his business back to America, but he has to come back again to what? To perform the obligatory hajj. If it was a umrah, and he made umrah before, he made hajj before, it's up to him to come back or not to come back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. The next hadith, hadith by Aisha, may Allah be pleased, was here. قالت دخل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم على ضباعة بنت الزبير ابن عبد المطلب رضي الله تعالى عنهما فقالت يا رسول الله إني أريد الحج وإني وأنا شاكية فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حجي واشترطي أن محلي حيث حبستني متفق عليه. قالت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. This hadith reported by Aisha, the hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim, the hadith is authentic. That Rasulullah ﷺ, he entered the house where is Duba'a, daughter of Zubair ibn Abd al-Muttalib. Okay? So Zubair is the son is of ibn Abd al-Muttalib. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what kind of relationship between him and this woman? Huh? Abd al-Muttalib, his grandfather. Okay?
And she's the daughter of
Zubair, which is the son of Abd al-Muttalib. You guys make your mind now. The grandfather has a son by name is Zubair. Okay? Which is the uncle of who? Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this, the daughter of Zubair will be one to the Prophet? Who agree? You make your mind about it. Anyway. So the Prophet ﷺ, when he entered, she told him, O Prophet of Allah, I want to make hajj. You can agree about it or disagree, I leave this up to you. Maybe you can take it to the shura member and discuss it there. Or make your mind. So she said, O Prophet of Allah, I decide to make hajj, I want to make hajj, but I am sick. That means there is a possibility she's scared that the sickness will increase and this will make what? Prevent her of performing the hajj. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised her to do what? To make a condition on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? What is the condition? Say, oh Allah, I attend the hajj for this year and if something, what you call, obstruct me, that so wherever I am, this will be the end of it. Okay? That means, if something happened to me, I will go to the state of non-ihram, and this will be it. Alright? So now, this is something also that a person who may fear, is still dealing with this. Alright. The most important thing is not the first or the second, that the Prophet ﷺ taught her something. To do what? To make a condition. Okay? That when she makes her intention that she will include that فَإِنْ حَبَتَنِي حَابِتْ فَمَعِلَّ حَيْتُ حَبَتَنِي, that if something came in my way to stop me, if it's sickness, if it's an enemy, if whatever it is, so wherever I am, I do what? I finish my ihram and I turn automatically, okay, towards the state of ihlal. So, and I have no obligation of making a sacrifice or killing animal or anything like this. Okay? So if a person fears there is something it may come in his way, not in a normal life, like you understand everything is going fine, or a person will, okay, but if a person that sees that the sickness may increase, or maybe understand the thing will be shaped in this matter and this war will break at any time, so now will be better for him to make this condition. So this shows us from hadith the permissibility of doing this condition with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this only to be done in a state of fear, or that you don't think you'll be able to make it there because sickness or other reasons. Otherwise, you don't have to make this condition. Last hadith in this chapter and the last hadith for the class, inshallah, hadith number 647. وعن عكرمة عن الحجاج ابن عمرو الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من كسر أو عرج فقد حل وعليه الحج من القابل. قال عكرمة فسألت ابن عباس وأبا هريرة عن ذلك فقال صدق رواه الخمسة. This hadith is authentic, reported by عكرمة son of الحجاج ابن عمرو الأنصاري, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is stating that if a person then break his leg, his arm, whatever that obstruct his hajj, okay, or his leg been twisted or whatever it is that became a serious illness like breaking or twisting, okay, that let him finish his ihram and let him walk, do it from the next year. And as I said, this hadith can be explained to the person who never made hajj before, okay? But if a person who made hajj before and something happened to him like this, he will go back to his country and he don't have to come back to the next year to perform or to make up for this umrah or make up to this hajj, since he already has fulfilled his obligation by performing one hajj in his life. Alhamdulillah, this inshallah will be the ending of our study from Bulugh al-Maram for almost a month until April, inshallah. We're going to stop here, and this is exactly today we make 40 classes of Bulugh al-Maram, and this is the fifth class concerning album number 3 related to Hajj, and this exactly half of the book of Bulugh al-Maram that we finish. Inshallah, next week we're going to talk about Hajj as well as the week after. We're going to be demonstrating Hajj, like things, how to make the tawaf, how to get the blessed stone, how to break your ihram, how to go between Safa and Marwa. We're going to show movies, inshallah, slideshow and things like this. And inshallah, I would like for those who plan to make Hajj this year, each family, not each individual, each family, to pick one for you to study, okay? So, and after we cover those people who gone for Hajj, inshallah, if there is any left, we give to the rest of the brothers. I would like to extend my thanks for Brother Khalid that he took upon himself to make this, to make it available for us. So may Allah bless him. Thank you very much. So please, if anybody making Hajj and the head of the family sitting here, raise your hand. Brother Khalid, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Brother Abu?
I gave you one.
I gave you one? Okay.
So the Talib
gave you one. Anybody here? Habib? You have one. So take one for sister. No. Nazhat? And one for sister Farida? And one for sister. Anybody else? Yeah? Okay. And anybody else? Okay. Now I think if anybody, one family don't take, and the rest of the brothers can share this, inshallah, as the sister. If one family can take one, each family take one. If any brother here that his wife or his children here, give one to Brother Amin. You can get one, you can get one. Now, if any sister that her husband is not sitting here, please, he can get one. Now, I want you for homework to go over this, front and back. This will make it much easier in you to understand when you see the movie and when we have the pictures and talk about it. If any sister, her husband is not sitting in this group, and she did not have one already, and she is not going for Hajj, feel free to get a copy. Please, we don't need two people out of the same family to have, so we can cover everybody. No, I think we have enough to cover. Plus, I had reduced it, so we can make copies, you understand, for those people who did not have. Okay, anybody that present today did not have a copy, okay, Sister Shanaz, please give this to Sister Shanaz. Any brothers, anybody who deserve or who wants one? Anwar? Inshallah. Anybody else? Okay. Good salam. Inshallah, you go next year, brother. Brother Mu'tasim, inshallah. Excuse me. Good one? Inshallah. Anybody else? Okay. Alhamdulillah. Please study this. I know it's not going to be easy to remember everything, but this to prepare you for next class. And as I said, we're going to demonstrate button stations and showing you. So don't worry about it. We can take 2 to 3 classes to master this. And from class coming, I urge all the people who go for Hajj or there is a possibility to go for Hajj, okay, just to be present for these classes, inshallah. May Allah accept it from all of us and congratulations for finishing the first half of the book Bulugh al-Maram. And this is for everybody. You want one? Okay. Question. Go ahead.
Who established
it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had showed it to the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Okay, وَإِذْ بَوَأْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ. So Allah showed. Some scholars, they said that the house was there before. Okay? As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٌ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةَ مُبَرَكٍ. Indeed, the first house been built for mankind. So been built for mankind, so that means they understood that the house been built before the mankind existed. Okay? And some scholars are talking about that Adam, you understand, the angels came and so. But I don't know too much how authentic this information. But what is clear cut in the Quran that Allah has shown the Prophet Ibrahim. Makan al-Bayt, that means some people said that this is where is the house supposed to be. Or that the house used to be there and disappeared. So Allah made him to see where it was, the foundation, and he built it.
Was the Kaaba there first or the Masjid al-Haram? Which was first?
Which one was there? The house, which is the mosque. Okay? And the Kaaba is part of it.
Okay. So they're both together.
Both together. And Allah knows best. And sometimes I could not find too much detail, you understand, about this information. And whatever information that I may find, I could not find how authentic it is. So I'm...
So some people said the Kaaba was there prior to the, Prophet Ibrahim, and like you said, he rediscovered it almost.
Everything is possible, but let's understand one thing. We pray and worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We did not pray to the Kaaba, neither we worship the Kaaba. And a Muslim have to be his main concern how to please Allah by doing what Allah said. All this hysterical, sometimes some people they like, but it's not going to increase our iman in any fashion if I know was the Kaaba first or was the Haram first or who built it before Ibrahim, was it there or no? It disappeared by the flood of Noah, and after all this information, people say, but how authentic, I don't know. Will this increase my iman or no? My main concern, Allah commanded me to make Hajj, that I should be concerned about making Hajj and going to make Hajj.
What is the name of the masjid in Jerusalem?
Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Al-Aqsa, which means the farthest mosque.
That's a different message from the Dome of the Rock.
Yes. Okay, so there's three holy mosques, huh? Alif, Lam, Alif, Qaf, Sad, Ya. A-L, A-Q, S-A. This is what I'm saying. You can read a lot of things about the Kaaba, the Bloodstone, and all these things, and what happened and before the Prophet Ibrahim, but. This can be true, can be not true. But as I said, it's not going to be part of what we need, how to worship Allah. You see? Any question? Inshallah, we're going to save all the questions, all these things, because we have plenty of things to talk about next week and see the video and all the things. Please, if anybody has pictures, have a movie, have anything about Hajj, bring it. So we share it together. Onward.
Out of curiosity, what
Hajj who's doing? Myself, Tamattu, inshallah. This is the most rewarded one, to my knowledge. Tamattu. Yes, Sister Farida. In the hadith? The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-rijalu, al-nisa'u shaqa'iq al-rijal. Women are the twin of the men. Whatever applies to man, applies to a woman, except if there is exception comes to say a woman is not supposed to. To the best of my knowledge, I never saw anything. It can be from a school of thought, but I would investigate this matter more in some information about what's different between man and woman in worship, inshallah. Yes, ma'am. No, she could not make tawaf around the Kaaba while she has her mentions. Doesn't matter if the first or the second or the last. She will delete it. She will delete it. Okay? That means she will make her tawaf after she gets clean. Let me quick reference either. Let's see if there is anything in this book concerning Ram. Anybody have anything else? Okay, inshallah. سنن الطواف، سنن دخول مكة، الاضباع، استلام الحجر، تقبيل الحجر، السجود، التكبير عند الركن، الرمل في الأشواط الثلاثة الأولى في الطواف الأول، لحديث ابن عمر أن رسول الله كان إذا طاف بالبيت الطواف الأول رمل ثلاثة ومشى أربعة من الحجر الله. Okay, didn't say anything about women could not do it or no, but inshallah I think I have a reference which I may found something. But basically the general rule for women to do everything like a man in salah, in fasting, in hajj, in everything, except if the hadith comes to say a woman could not do this. Allah knows this. Subhanak Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barik ala abika wa rasulika. Inshallah. Adhan inshallah. Fast iqamah.